What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
1 o'clock hour on a Friday. That means it is a fan club right now going on for the next hour here on 96.5. The Fan, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. And we've got our guy, Josh Briscoe, hanging out with us. It's been a little while. He's all in on the Whittison thing.
Headphones are tough in the crown.
You can't go headphones with the crown.
Just maybe
turn
them up and leave them on the desk. That's what I
was saying, though. You don't need the wig. You can come out Sunday to the lookalike contest. At 10:30, there are barbers doing the haircuts. You can get your hair. You got enough lettuce on top.
You could shave it in a way that looks like his facial hair.
I trimmed the beard a little bit today, actually. I still thought, you know what? I'm still well within the Whittison range. I don't know if this is going to complicate things. I'm actually a sovereign Whittison. I don't know if that's going to end up having any complications. But my wife keeps telling me that she likes my hair as it continues to get longer and longer. This is the longest it's been in years. And currently, Gold's wig and my hair under this crown look almost exactly the same.
I do kind of like any wordplay that includes it. That's why we went with senior Whittisons for us, right? As the leaders of this.
So good.
Sovereign Whittison. I'm fine with any of these things, you know? We just want you to be a part.
Thanks to our partners at the Royals, it's officially sanctioned fan club now, and we're excited for this thing on Sunday to kind of launch the event. Someone had asked on the text line, do I have to do the contest to be a Whittison? You do not. No. You do not. We would obviously want you to participate on Sunday. It's our first event. But you can be a Whittison even if you're not in the lookalike contest.
Oh, yeah. Correct. Oh, yeah. We'll have other events. Obviously, some of this stuff will be out and about. And then, at a point, you'll have a chance to, like, get gear you want so that you can do it outside of there. This is just the launch event on Sunday, you know? We're not limiting ourselves to... We're unlimited. We could do whatever. We're sanctioned now.
I love that for you guys. So
for us to be sanctioned?
Cody, more than most, I do. I do know how rare that is, and I love that for you so much. I love that you're getting the stamp of approval to say this nonsense, this is good for the culture. This is good for the brand, and you guys have gotten that stamp of approval. I think that's a beautiful thing.
We appreciate the royal support, you know?
We'll talk some Royals baseball, I'm sure, at some point a little bit later on this hour, but we were talking... Of course, as I'm sure you've been keeping an eye on, Trey Smith's situation, contract deadline is Tuesday afternoon. We both still think it gets done. I think maybe we start hearing some things this weekend. Where are you at on the likelihood this one gets done? And two, like, doesn't it have to get done once you trade Joe Tooney away?
I think it does get done, and I think that's the best argument for why it does. I don't think the Chiefs have made any, like, terrible missteps throughout this process, but I think it would also be silly to say, like, oh, no, the Chiefs still have a lot of leverage here. Like, when they traded Joe Tooney, the Chiefs said, hey, Trey Smith, we're going to get this done, right? And I believe that Trey Smith's side said, yeah, we're going to get this done at a reasonable number, but that franchise tag's had a very, very high starting point. So I know we keep getting closer and closer to the deadline. That's how time and deadlines work. I still think it makes way too much sense for both sides to go ahead and get this done. I could hear an argument for wanting to do it differently with Tooney and Trey Smith. You go back in time a couple of months, maybe that changes some things a tiny bit. But where we're at right now, I'd be really, really surprised if Smith plays this year under the tag.
Weirdly enough, I'm still convinced they're getting a discount versus the open market. I am convinced that if Trey Smith had become a free agent without being franchise tagged, he'd have gotten $25.5 million a year. $26 million a year. I watched what some other guys got in free agency. Somebody always ends up, watch Dan Moore get 4 for $80 million.
Right.
I feel like there was a number on Trey Smith, especially because there were no guards essentially in free agency, that would have driven the number up pretty high.
And the guard market has been growing pretty extremely over these last few years. I have a little bit of concern that that's going to plateau shortly, and you don't want to be the team that pays the record-breaking deal for your number one guard in football, being Trey Smith in this instance, in terms of what I expect the salary to be. You don't want to be the team that pays that guy the most money for the position in history and then have the market retract a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen in a huge way. And the Chiefs, what this really boils down to is Trey Smith going to be better than Joe Tooney in 2 years? Is Trey Smith going to be one of the best guards in football? He's already a very, very, very good football player. The Chiefs are going to pay him like an elite future Hall of Fame talent like kind of guy, like Joe Tooney. So it's a huge ask for Trey Smith, but that's what the money's going to mean.
That's what we were talking about with like left tackle. It's like, if for some reason Josh Simmons is the guy, and there's plenty of reason to think that he could be, well, then they don't have to worry about 3/5 of the offensive line for the next 5 years.
Correct.
And they might not have to ever worry about looking for left tackle ever again with Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback. Because if you get it right at left tackle, you're just going to pay him. The same as Ronnie Stanley wasn't available or whoever else. Like, those guys stay in town. You wouldn't have to pay. You wouldn't have to find a left tackle again for like a decade. Please. After what? 5 straight and 5 Super Bowls? 5 straight different left tackles and 5 Super Bowls?
And I still think, you know, it all comes down to that first two days, I should say, at training camp. I mean, if Josh Simmons is out there and he's doing just as much as Jalen Moore, then I think everything is on track and everybody should be thrilled, because then he's probably your starting left tackle week one. But if it's day 5 and he's still, well, we just want to be cautious, you know, we just want to be careful. You know, he had a procedure, you know, it's a serious thing. We just want, you know, he's a rookie. We just want to ease him in. If we hear that kind of crap 5 days in, then we all know he was never actually ready for training camp, and that was not the truth.
Yep, and that's, I'm with you on all of that. It's why, like, we obviously, the radio show starts at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You have the news you have.
Yeah.
I think you can give Josh Simmons and the Chiefs every bit of credit possible throughout the process of saying he has hit the rehab markers and even been ahead of schedule. Andy Reid sounded really optimistic on draft night, and I was pessimistic. And it seems like the near best case scenario is unfolding for Simmons. Jalen Moore was sidelined throughout some of the offseason activities. I think all you can ask through this process is just, hey, have some positive, I don't even want to call it hype, really, but let Travis Kelce juice him up on his podcast. That's all cool. Have Jalen Moore be around and available to have that be a legitimate competition. And I think right now the Chiefs have two actual, like, reasonable candidates to be a top 25 starting left tackle, and obviously the ceiling is much, much higher than that.
Yeah, well, now that I have the benefit of hindsight, because part of it is, like I told him, I'm gonna take it a little more cautiously this year, because I made the mistake of, well, if Josh Simmons wins, that means they love him.
Right.
Because Kingsley won the job last year against a veteran, and I thought, well, look at this. What could this possibly mean? And he stuck. It didn't mean anything.
Right.
It just meant he was the best of two bad options. And with Jalen Moore, he is still an incredibly inexperienced player.
Yep.
Beating him out is not beating out Ronnie Stanley or beating out Trent. He didn't beat out one of the best left tackles in football. He'll be beating out a guy who has been a backup his entire career and started for a portion of last year because the starter was out. And so, like, I'm not trying to, like, make it everything that he would beat him out, or make it everything if he didn't win the job because I stepped into it. But there's no doubt Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons is a better battle than the one last year now. There's no thought there now. I know what last year was now.
Right. And you know, I will say you have to kind of be careful not to just get caught up in saying, well, this year's different than last year in the similar circumstances. I want to avoid those pitfalls. But in this case, like, you're objectively right. The Chiefs did something very different in terms of double dipping at left tackle this year, as opposed to half double dipping with Wanya Morris and Kingsley. And I even wonder in retrospect now, like, if Wanya Morris would have been healthy throughout training camp, Is he starting in week one last year? Obviously, that's all in the rear view now.
Probably.
But as long as there is a winner and not a winner by default, as long as there is a winner at left tackle and not a forfeit at left tackle, they're in great places.
That's what's tough. Last year, I thought it was I didn't think it was winner by default.
No, same.
I knew that later.
Yeah.
But at the time, we did not think it was winner by default.
Yeah. No, we definitely didn't. No, I think we would all agree, as you guys were kind of alluding to. I mean, Josh Simmons, though, you know, everybody, the way they talk about him, as much as we were excited about Kingsley last year, like Josh Simmons, it seems like everybody is only questioning the injury. Nobody's questioning the ability at all. Like, you know, Kingsley last year, we were excited, but we're like, man, he's super athletic, but he's raw. And it turned out, well, yes, he was. So this year, it's like, if Simmons is healthy, everybody thinks this guy eventually is going to be an absolute beast at left tackle. We'll just see if it's actually week one or not. One other thing we're going to see, of course, at training camp, Briscoe, you've been up there enough to know, you know, they work sometimes on the trick plays a little bit, some fun up there. Andy does a great job mixing it up. We learned that we missed out on what could have been one of the most incredible trick plays the Chiefs have come up with the best name. Matt Nagy was talking on New Heights podcast. I'm sure you've heard it, but if you guys haven't heard it, we'll bring it back. This was Nagy talking with both the Kelseys about a Chris Jones trick play.
You know, Kels, we put that one play in for Chris Jones that we had him doing a little bit of a pass, and he just
No, Jason, you have no idea. It was bad. Dude, Chris, I love Chris Jones to death, dog. I don't know what it was, but he needs to stay on the defensive side.
Yeah, it just we put it in for him and we had him doing a little throw, and it just, I mean, usually, coach, we put it in the incubator like with Dontari Poe. With the jump pass.
Just let that thing simmer, baby.
You worked it for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, this one was called Swinging D, and it wasn't working, man. That play wasn't working.
Swinging D? Are you kidding me? That is amazing.
It had the name.
Oh, my gosh.
It had the reference. It
didn't work.
We ran it. And it was a throw to me. Every single throw was like 5 yards behind me at my feet. I'm just like, coach, I don't think this is going to work.
We could have had that moment.
I'm mad at Chris Jones for not letting us have that play.
Look, Chris Jones is really good at a lot of things. Let me rephrase that. Chris Jones is gifted in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Throwing the football apparently isn't one of them. You know what I love about that I feel like people have gotten, and man, New Heights has been great at this for Spags, we all know, but having Nagy on. Matt Nagy seems like a good hang. I know people get mad at when the offense sputters. It's very rarely Andy Reid's fault. It's usually Matt Nagy's fault.
And when things are good, it's never Matt Nagy's credit. It's
Andy Reid, baby.
Tough spot.
It's a tough spot to be in, and it seems like he came back to Kansas City with a little bit. You know, obviously you have your head coaching failure and your reboot and all of that. It seems like he's probably in a slightly chiller headspace. I'd imagine that being an NFL head coach and being run out of Chicago is not a chill way to spend an act of your professional life. Matt Nagy seems like a good hang, man. I feel like Nagy, Dave Merritt, like, I don't know what Spags is obviously
is
on there. I'm trying to think of like the rotation. Maybe you want to go play golf with these guys, whatever you do. But I think Nagy deserves to be in that mix.
I can get Spags' exact energy having hung out. Like, Spags definitely like was probably like an amazing hang when he was like in his 20s and 30s. Yeah. And now you can see that he's probably like a great hang for like 2.5 hours. And when you're like, Spags, we're getting after, he's like, you kids have a great time.
100%.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can sit you on your way. He's not trying to tell you can't have a great time. He's not trying to stop any of the great times.
He's just leaving at 9, and that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, he's
got meatballs at home.
Yeah, that's, he's just taking right. off. Right. He knows you're going to have a great time, and he's good with that. He's got no complaints.
Text me when you get home. Let me know you got home safe. All right, yeah, sure thing, Spags. Absolutely, will do.
Are you? We got Briscoe in studio. Josh Briscoe hanging out with us.
This crown is a little tight on my head.
Are you right? You're right with this?
It's not super big.
I got a big dome. I got a 7.75 under here.
Oh, man, and that is a big head.
We have crunched it in here. Sorry, Gold, go ahead and answer.
No, stretch my crown out.
Earlier in the week, we were talking about, you know, there's a lot of people saying underrated players heading into camp, and I can't remember, was it ESPN or somebody listed Breshard Smith, and like, he's a rookie. How can he really be underrated as a 7th round rookie?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel that way about Noel Williams too and the others, but
yeah, I think when you ask underrated for me, the guy that immediately jumps to mind is Charles Omenihu, just because I think he is like, I think he's got top 20
he's
defensive
gonna have
end potential
this year.
I think so too. That's my hot take. Well, we can share this hot take.
Okay.
I think
you
Charles
can have a similar bold prediction.
Charles Omenihu's having a career year. I think I had this up weeks ago, and I was talking about this last. I don't remember when.
Yeah.
But His most productive season by sack totals was year one in Kansas City on a truncated season. If he can be healthy and on the field for a full year, being maybe third fiddle, arguably, behind Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, I think Aminihou might be a better pure pass rusher than Karlaftis, and Karlaftis is a great player. Anyway, you asked me about Breshad Smith, and I talked about Charles Aminihou because that's how I feel about Charles Aminihou.
Full I think season. Mike Dan is the most underrated player of the last 5 years.
I would agree with that. True.
I
think last year that became no longer true, but that was because he was dealing with injuries all year long, and he just wasn't. He got a contract and he had injury issues, so you get paid a little more and you produce a little less. It's a tough draw for him, but like that defensive end room went from being a legit problem last year, like they weren't, especially in the first half of the season, just weren't getting enough pressure, to now I'm thinking, man, they've got like a legitimate rotation across that defensive line that's very exciting.
Yeah, I like the guys in the second and the third round. I think it just adds to the depth.
What do you expect from Breshad Smith? Because I think, you know, the backfield is crowded entering camp.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things they can do to easily solve that. I mean, Elijah Mitchell's on a one-year nothing deal. If things don't turn out well, they can cut him. Same thing applies for technically Kareem Hunt, although I assume Pacheco and Hunt are the locks to make the team. I assume Breshad Smith will as well, unless things are disastrous at camp. There's always the injury stuff that can come into play. But isn't best case scenario rookie year? I'm not saying his whole career, but rookie year, you know, he's a guy that maybe gets better as a pass protector, so he's allowed to be out there on third downs. And he's, you know, we'll call it 50% of Jerick McKinnon his rookie year or something like that. You know, they can get creative, a random package. They have him lined up in the slot, but that's about it, right? I don't think he's carrying the football much.
No, I think if he's like 50% of DeAnthony Thomas year one, wow. I'm kind of excited. Okay. Like, he is an archetype of player who I was always going to immediately fall in love with. The receiver who converts to running back, and then you start to figure out that new skill set. That's my my college football dynasty strategy on nice. PS5 there right now. I got 26 fired up last night, by the way.
You
if you guys
Drew.
Want to break it down, I'm ready to go. But I really like his skill set in this offense. I think he was a remarkable bet in the seventh round for specifically what the Chiefs need. To your point, though, I don't know if he's going to be allowed to be on the field if part of the job is, hey, you may need to handle this NFL linebacker. You are a year removed from being a college wide receiver, and you may need to block this blitzing Mike here. I don't know. But if he can get involved in the offense in some little sub packages with some, even just some designed plays while he kind of gets into the groove of the offense, I would consider myself pretty high on Breshad Smith, certainly compared to his draft stock. And even then, my expectations for him out of the gate are relatively low, because I think Isaiah Pacheco is being underrated a little bit.
Yes, agreed.
It's been kind of a weird ebb and flow. He breaks his leg. He comes back at 70% or something, and everyone goes, he's not as good as he used to be. It's like, yeah, obviously. His leg was in two pieces an hour ago. I don't think he's going to be a bell cow, but I think Pacheco is the leader of that committee. And then you let... I will say with Kareem Hunt, if he just shows up to camp and he just doesn't have it, you wouldn't be shocked, right? Like, just say, hey, man, we rode you hard last year, and now we're in camp, and you and Elijah Mitchell are, you know, breaking the pool cue over your knee and saying, we got one more roster spot for the two vets who are trying to make the cut. But I think it's most likely they probably carry all four of those guys. Carson Steele is a practice squad champion, and you go ahead and carry all four of them into the regular season. And I think it's an okay group. It's not a super dynamic group, but there's different skill sets amongst those top four that I'm pretty excited about, honestly.
They'd be bucking the trend to just go to Breshad Smith right away. Even in the year Isaiah Pacheco was the lead back, he wasn't until Clyde Edwards-Helaire got hurt.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, it's always the same thing. They don't start with the rookie.
Right.
Maybe he became the guy, but he wasn't the guy right away. I was also, you guys were mentioning Matt Nagy and the good hang, and I was thinking more about it. I think he gets a totally bad rap in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's because I'm not a Chicago sports radio host. He made the playoffs twice.
Who's his quarterback,
with
Cody?
Mitch Trubisky.
Interesting.
Yeah. That guy stinks.
Yep. Interesting.
Stinks. But yet, bad ownership. Bad quarterback. He made the playoffs twice. He's a 500 head coach. I don't know why you're giving him all the heat in the world
and yet
for being mediocre there.
You talk to people in Chicago, yeah, they act like he was a terrible coach. No, terrible coach, coach is what you just had in Matt Eberflus. That's a terrible coach. Yeah.
That's
a terrible coach.
Cody, you weren't back in the studio yet, but I was telling Gold on the way in, I couldn't imagine having a hot take about NFL head coach hot seats on July 11th.
Yeah, sorry.
But I heard you guys talk about it. I'm like, well, you know what? I kind of think there's something here now.
So, I think
like,
Zach Taylor should be fired today.
Honestly, I think he should have been fired last year, but that's
so you're even ahead of me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am.
Drew's shaking his head over there.
So here's the thing, and Drew saying that
he's holding back your guy Joe Burrow.
Well, you saying that Burrow's had his back is interesting. Like, you would have a better idea of that than any of the rest of us would. So I'm totally co-signing that. The question I would ask on the like early firing hot seat conversation is, who is pulling the trigger or who's getting blamed for underachieving. If you're getting fired in week six, like you were, your chances coming into the season were either already very low, Shane Steichen, who might be my pick here just because I think they're on a bizarre path right now.
They don't make any sense for like, if Ballard has maintained the job for a while.
If Daniel Jones wins the job though for the Colts, actually the Steichen and the Colts will win 8+ games.
Oh, see, and I couldn't be, could not possibly be less interested in the Daniel Jones Colts.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but they will win more games with Daniel Jones starting week one than Andy Richardson.
Fans in India have been calling for Chris Ballard's head ever since Andrew Luck retired.
Yeah.
The
Ballard thing is kind of bizarre. My one Bengals point though is that if they do start 1-4 and there's another instance of like, man, bad September, outside looking in the playoff picture, you're not going to fire Joe Burrow. You're going to look at your head coach and your quarterback, and you're going to say, who do we put the blame on? Even if it's unfair. In Taylor's case, I think it might be fair. But if it gets to the point where Joe Burrow is able to go to ownership and say, hey, man, we got to get a different voice in here. Something's not working. And maybe it's very unlikely that Burrow does that. And if he doesn't do it, then that probably doesn't happen. Your cheap ownership point, also well taken. I think that's very good. But in a lot of those conversations, I'm thinking, who's getting the blame? Even though I think Steichen's probably a little bit of a lame duck, I don't know that you can blame him for Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson going 0-5 to start the season.
I think it's because every category for the Bengals was great except for the defensive side, which is where they fired the one coach who was responsible for
that.
Which
is
now, everything falls on to Zach Taylor, I would say, at this point. You're not going to get rid of Al Golden after just one season. If they're better, great. Can the offense, because I think Zach Taylor deserves some credit for how good the offense was. After all, he is calling plays. And I know he's got Joe Burrow, but just like Andy Reid calls the plays, Andy Reid gets credit when it looks good. I think Zach Taylor deserves some credit for the offense being as electric as it was.
I agree, but he's got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins as well.
I just said, Matt Nagy finished above 500 with Mitch Trubisky. Zach Taylor's not even a 500 head coach in his NFL career. He's had Joe Burrow for at least half of that.
Yeah, but he took the team to its third ever Super Bowl appearance and beat the Chiefs to do it and then went to back-to-back AFC title games. They've never done that before. I think he's, and I know that it's because of Joe Burrow mainly, but as it for a coach with a cheap owner and with bad history, you're going to hang on to that guy a little bit more.
I guess this just goes back to Philadelphia Eagles are one of the best run organizations on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they let Doug Peterson go after a Super Bowl win.
Right.
Faster than I'm saying to get rid of Zach Taylor.
And it wasn't
wild. They made the right choice. They've since won another Super Bowl.
It's
Doug
wild.
Peterson
it's wild that
has not
it.
Had success.
Like, it's wild in NFL history. It is a total outlier. I think you're right to say that Zach Taylor earned a bunch of job security there. Again, I think that's totally fair. But if you get to that point where you're saying, we have put all of our chips in the quarterback and these pass catchers, the offense isn't humming anymore, or the offense is still humming and it's just Trey Hendrickson over there by himself on defense, like, for however much longer that's going to be, fair enough. I think that is the caliber of sort of air quotes surprise early firing, where you say, we need a scapegoat, we need to make a change. We're not changing the quarterback, we're going to change the head coach.
To circle this back to the Chiefs, this is why, for just this year in particular, we'll see where things go. For this year in particular, Cincinnati is not on my radar. They're not a team I am concerned with if I am the Chiefs.
Keep thinking that way.
Give me Baltimore first, give me Baltimore, give me the Bills. There are multiple teams I take more seriously as a direct competitor to the Chiefs than Cincinnati because I think their organization and their structure is bad. They had the league's worst defense and said, what if we pay two wide receivers and pissed off the only good defensive player we had? That's how they spent
their
offseason.
Because you didn't want to piss off your quarterback like they did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That is the reason why. It's just the history that they have.
But they
almost had no choice.
Rank them amongst Chiefs' most serious competitors for this upcoming year?
I think the Bengals are probably a wild card team, but I think they're a wild card team that I would not be thrilled to see the Chiefs match up with in the first round.
You already know that's coming, right?
Right.
Because people were trying to do that last year, and they weren't even...
When the Chiefs were playing backups, and the Bengals were saying prayers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing. I can already tell you, you're 100% right. If they're a wild card team, and whether the Chiefs are a 1-seed, 2-seed, 3-seed, whatever it's going to be like, oh, you don't... Like, almost that they're more dangerous than the teams that actually have gone up there and had the results. It's crazy.
And I think, and maybe I'm like being a little bit brainwashed by like that Spags clip with Burrow on the field from quarterback saying, look, other than our guy, you're the best. I think Spags means that. He compares him to Tom Brady all the time. I think Josh Allen keeps Spags up at night. I don't know that Lamar Jackson does, by the way they've handled the Ravens in games that have really, really mattered. I think Burrow and those receivers gives you, and it's why I think that the Bengals have made some kind of bizarre choices, but just saying, hey, we're going to make sure that Joe Burrow has two incredible pass catchers around him for the bulk of his career here. I've heard worse bets to make. Like, you want to make sure your quarterback has those weapons, and I understand that. You bring those guys up against Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie, or Christian Fulton and Trent McDuffie, and McDuffie's handled Jamar Chase just fine. But that's the, like, the upset potential, right? I think the Chiefs are favored at home in Arrowhead in the playoffs against anybody. But if you said, well, who do you think has that, like, ripcord potential? I think Buffalo and Baltimore are the better teams. I think Cincinnati might be next for me in terms of a playoff matchup. But they also, dead serious, they could go 6-11. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
No. Yeah, they're boomer bust.
It would shock me if the Ravens or Bills missed the playoffs.
Right.
Would not shock me at all if the Bengals missed the playoffs. And if they make it, things have gone relatively well. Trey Hendrickson's carrying the defense. The offense is potent. And then that's a dangerous team. I'm trying to keep Drew happy. You guys have given him a hard time today about his Tigers over there.
No, it's not even just like as it relates to the Chiefs.
Day. It's all right. It's okay.
I didn't give you enough credit.
Honestly, it's weird to be the bully on other NFL teams considering a lifetime of living in Kansas City.
Isn't it crazy?
It's kind of fun, honestly.
No,
I see how the other teams enjoy it for so long.
It's unbelievable.
Think about how much you were the doorstop of NFL fandom for so long.
Forever.
We've got Briscoe hanging out with us. It's a fan club Friday. I got a piece of audio that I have to play you guys that I think is Jay Binkley maybe like 20 years earlier. Okay?
I'm interested.
That's coming up next here on Cody.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Gold. Fan Club Friday continues here on Cody and Gold. We got Josh Briscoe hanging out with us, talking some Chiefs football. But before we get back into the Chiefs.
Well, I was going to say, brought to you by Circa Resort. Are you going to come out to Las Vegas with us? We have a chance to, we're going to be out there for contest week where they have guaranteed prizes for people who enter the Survivor or pick'em contest, you know?
The best place in Vegas now, man. It's
I guess I'll ask you, am I coming with you? Because I think my schedule's pretty clear.
It is unreal, man.
I'll
the sports
carry your bags.
Book, it is the world's largest sports book. And then outside at Stadium Swim, what, six pools, just football-sized screen. I mean, it's a football field-sized screen. It's incredible. But yes, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, back with a massive $21 million in guaranteed prizes. So the Circa Million, you pick five games against the spread each week. Overall, $6 million guaranteed. Survivor, you guys are familiar with that. One pick a week, no point spread. You last till the end, $15 million guaranteed. Go to CircaSports.com. You do have to enter in Nevada, but you can play from anywhere. And the perfect weekend to go and sign up is the weekend we're going to be out there. We'll be there August 20th through the 23rd.
We're a good hang. And like Matt Nagy, I'm a good hang in Las Vegas. I will never get quite as drunk as I did just that one time. Alex and I over there. And of course, we randomly ran into the big boss of the entire building.
That's so said, good.
To Alex, is Cody drunk? And his response was, yes.
I mean, is that not what you're there to do?
Yeah. Oh. I'm serious, though. Circa, it's if anybody hasn't been, it really is the best spot. I've been to Vegas enough that I don't even really go to the Strip that much anymore. It's Fremont Street, and we just stay on property there at Circa. And some of the you know, I'm excited for 8 East again.
Brisket fried rice.
The brisket fried rice is incredible.
Get a steak.
Oh, yeah. Say that. Wait, hold on. Say that.
Brisket fried rice.
Say that one more time.
8 East.
Oh, man.
Brisket fried rice.
All right. So, yeah, you guys let me know how give me your flight details or whatever.
How you need to get there.
I don't
want to
drive. Are we flying?
Fly.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Go ahead and just pick up a third ticket for me, and I'll join
you. Sure. No problem.
Honestly, they gave us a budget for the tickets, and I think his ticket would get us right to it.
Perfect.
I'll tell you what. I'm a good hang.
So, we have been talking about like sports cards on the show off and on, going way back to the NBA Top Shot days. And obviously, you know, a bunch of Royals players, Bobby and Cags are really into it as well. And then we've been talking about this Caitlin Clark card that I pulled a while back, and it goes to auction tonight. And so we were talking about cards this morning, and Cody hadn't seen this video. It's a video from like the early 90s, gotta be, right?
Yeah.
And it's a guy named Don West, right? And he's like this TV. It basically would be the equivalent to what we remember from the OxyClean guy, right?
Ooh, Billy Mays. Billy Mays.
Okay.
Sure.
So I'm convinced this guy, he was trying to sell cards on an infomercial back in the 90s. And I'm convinced that this guy was Bink like 20 years before Bink. Tell me if this does not sound like Jay Binkley.
Let me put it to you this way, folks. And I can't put this any clearer than what I'm going to put right now.
Immediately.
I can't put it any clearer. If you don't buy this. If you do not buy this at $39.99, you're going to wake up in the morning and not be able to buy it for $39.99. You're going to look in the mirror, and you know what you're going to see? You're going to see something that you don't ever want to see. You're going to be a disappointment to yourself. You're going to look in that mirror, and you're going to go, what was I thinking? All I had to do was go to WildWestDeals.com and pull the trigger. $39.99. What's wrong with me? Why am I a loser? Why am I worth nothing? Because you didn't buy this for $39.99. You buy this for $39.99. Guess what, folks? You take the L away. You put a W there, baby.
He's doing this on his head.
You're a winner, man. You're the real deal. You're picking up chicks.
It's Bink. It's Bink.
You buy this set at $39.99.
He's doing this.
Baby. You're the cock of the walk, man. You walk into the bar and you just find the hottest chick and you go, you, me, guess what? She says, why would I go out with you? Because I bought the deal on Wild West Deals for $39.99. That's why. She says, can I go home with you? That's how simple it is. That's how it works.
She says that to the bartender, but.
Because you know what she sees? She sees a man who knows what he wants. She sees a man who says, good deals don't get by me, baby. I move. I act quick. I act now.
Tell me that's not Bink from like 1992. You framed that wrong. The way you should have said that was, we have uncovered Jay Binkley's prior life. We have uncovered, he has been leading a dual life this entire time. He had a fake name. He sold cards. He gave questionable dating advice. That is I just saw it. Him just a minute ago. Uh-huh. That is Jay Binkley.
What's crazy, this guy named Don West, I think he passed away in the last, I don't know, 15 years maybe or something like that.
And then Jay Binkley popped onto the scene.
That's right.
Interesting.
It's Bink.
Picturing him doing the thing with his hand.
The beginning is, I mean.
Let me put it to you this
way. He does the hand gestures. He does this. He's like this. Let me tell you there, Cody. I mean, just the same thing. It's just like the movements. I can't even describe the mannerisms.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. You got to watch the video.
He said, loser to W. He puts it on his head, the whole thing. Oh, it's so good.
This set at $39.99. Baby, you're the cock of the walk, man. You walk in.
That was the name of Chris Jones's trick play, right?
Sweet knees.
Settle down.
Pretty close. I mean, it's honestly.
$39.99, that's why.
Gold, you're.
She says, can I go home with you?
You are huge in the hobby. Too. It is stunning to me. This is embarrassing of the entire card hobby. That somebody hasn't pitched their card break tonight. Just recreating that entire video.
100%.
I'll be honest. We've talked off air. We might have to have Bink recreate that.
Oh, I'd love that.
The whole video.
Be immaculate. Please
do. If we just rewrote it.
For the garage sale.
For the Coding Gold garage sale, maybe.
Perfect. Yeah, 100%. I love this evolution for you guys. I back in the day, I used to watch a lot of card breaks on YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. There was a set that was $300. They were all hits. It was like six cards or whatever. I don't know if it was Platinum or Premier or something. I can't remember the name of the box. But I'm really excited for this particular brand of degeneracy.
You can be the first bidder on the Caitlin Clark card
What's
tonight.
What's it opening
tonight, at? $1,000.
I may not be able to.
I got to say, you'll appreciate this. The big boss, the same one I was drunk in front of, she was up here the other day talking about one of her kids having an old 90s era binder of Pokemon cards. I'm like, I cannot express this enough.
Yeah.
You might be sitting on a literal gold mine.
Yes.
And you should get them out, see what shape they're in.
Yes.
And start getting on eBay because you might have a fortune on your hands if you really have what you're
first
describing
edition, first
to
edition
us.
Of the Pokemon. So I don't know much about the Pokemon cards, but if you have the first edition ones, then yeah, you definitely would be checking into that.
There is there's an Instagram, I think it's a YouTube channel too, but the Instagram handle is, I think it's Deep Pocket Monster, and the guy buys expensive packs of Pokemon and asks, should I open it or should I keep it sealed?
I've actually seen that.
He almost always opens it.
He says, should I open it or should I keep it sealed? Not kidding, I've seen
what?
It.
He almost always...
I've seen that.
I know Cody's seen this.
Yeah.
He almost never... makes money off of the transaction. The
pack is, rips.
He almost always. There are a few times where it's like, this is a $5,000 pack from the 1900s, which is what he says, but it's from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then sometimes those will stay sealed. But for me, that's the best way. I have Pokemon cards. I had a bunch of them when I was little. I don't want to think about what those are worth. Probably nothing. I'm just going to say that to keep myself sane because I don't have them anymore. But it scratches the itch to watch somebody else open them and then lose money. And then I go, it's like the guy who is, I can't remember what his name is, but the guy who's always betting like $3,000 on hands of blackjack. He just puts down the gray haired guy in a hoodie and a big chain.
Algorithm.
I figured we might.
Briscoe and I have a very similar
$3,000 hand of blackjack. We either make it back or make it worse.
It's just one dude, and he's just doing it every day.
It's like Vegas Matt or something. It was on my screen earlier today. I like to watch other people go through the process and then remind you that, like, you're going to probably lose more often than you're going to win. It keeps me sane.
Someone says they made $3,000 today off of Pokemon cards from middle school. Good for you.
Honestly, wow, let's go.
I'll just be like, no, I love Pokemon. I'll take the cards. It's fine.
I'll just
take them off your hands.
Wow.
You know,
that sounds smart to go ahead and rip off the big boss. That sounds like a great idea.
I told her that they were worth money. We both did.
That sounds like a great idea, Cody.
Gold, I'm going to take out my sunglasses so we can cut Cody out of this. I don't know this person, but you do, right? I can pass the Pokemon purity test.
Okay.
I have the background. Yeah. I have the knowledge. So if you can get in and be like, hey, actually, this other guy, he's really the Pokemon fan of the group, then have her give him to us, and then you and I, we'll figure out the math
after
that.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I'll sell him. Just give me like a 20% cut. Let's just agree to 20% blank.
I need you to be able to name like 10
Bulbasaur.
Pokemon.
Charizard.
What was the first one?
Bulbasaur.
Okay. You pronounce
Charizard,
it a little strange.
Charizard, Pikachu.
Squirtle.
Ivysaur, Squirtle. I can name a few.
A lot of first-gen starters, but that's okay.
I played some Pokemon Red back at, like, I played a little bit of Pokemon back in the day.
On my laptop here, we got a little
how's that one's pronounced?
Dragonite, little purple Jigglypuff. That's definitely a knockoff. There's a little Clefairy back there.
It is
Seedra. Maybe that's actually a Kingdra. That's a Seedra. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk Pokemon, I'm your guy.
There you go.
New game coming out on Switch 2 pretty soon.
There you go.
Looking forward to it.
Do you have a Switch 2 already?
I do.
Man, you were quick.
I was.
Cody's been dragging his feet. His poor kids, you know?
I'm on the Nintendo waitlist, but they didn't let me in the initial part. And so now I'm just hanging around waiting.
I got my email a few days ago. I think it's my spot there probably expired. I ended up getting it in a store. And I paid $500 to play Mario Kart for 2 weeks. And now I'm playing college football again. It's going to be worth it eventually. But like, if you're right now, if you're stressed about the Switch 2.
I'm not.
There's one game out right now. When Donkey Kong Bonanza comes out.
That game looks awesome.
It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be glad that I have it. But I got a whole 3DS story for you. I mean, I just realized what the next 10 minutes could be if I just kept talking about handheld video games.
I'm going to leave. You guys just keep talking.
Vintage video games, are any of my old Nintendo, Super Nintendo stuff, should I be selling that now?
Do you have it still in the box?
I have my original. I don't have the box, but I do have my original Nintendo, my original Super Nintendo.
That's pretty sweet.
I have all of those, and I probably have 60 games between the two of them. And then all the weird stuff, like the Super Scope and the Power Pad, and I have the Duck Hunt. You know, like I got all the random. I have a Power Glove. Does that do anything?
I was thinking about the Power Glove.
A lot of people are saying it's true. They said before you worry about anything else, Cody, you can't sell anything until Amazon box. The whole box is gone.
The whole box is gone. We sold it at cost. What are you making money off?
Wait.
That was the thing we talked
just
about
at
the
cost?
Show. We broke even.
We waited 2 years to just get the exact same amount of money back.
We lost money.
For sure. This was like 6 months ago. We talked about it.
We lost money on it.
I'm out of the Amazon package.
You didn't make back the tariffs on that, Cody. What are we doing?
My goodness.
Decisions were made.
You ought to take the advice you gave to Big Boss and go look on eBay, because I'm not sure. You're going to have a few things that might actually be like a specific
hit. I know I have a couple
hit.
Of games that are worth some money.
What I think you ought to do, honestly, that I'm planning on doing with my original GameCube at some point, that one's the one that has my heart. You've got all of those Nintendo consoles in order. Figure out a way to display those. Get a shelf figured out. I got a friend of mine who took apart.
I'm sure his wife will love that right in the living room, Briscoe.
I've been in your living room, Cody. That'd be front and center. I think a friend of mine took apart his GameCube and like has the pieces all framed now.
Cool.
You can do it in 3D on a little shelf or something. Yeah. I think make it the art installation it was meant to be. It's retro gold. You got to open your mind a little bit.
I think I put them all in the basement. Hook them all up.
Then
just a lot, like if people are downstairs or whatever, that's probably the best place for it.
You're going to need some extra inputs probably, but I think playing those games, emulation's gotten really, really good and really, really accessible.
I have a Raspberry Pi, which is just like a deck of cards. Uh-huh. It has all of them.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem with hooking them up. I could just hook up one thing and play all of them.
That's the thing.
Yeah, 1,000 games in one little thing.
The original hardware is special. Like there is something to that is a particularly special way of doing it. But man, it's really easy to have a whole bunch of games in digital form of just like 50 years of video game history.
Sure.
Just like that. It's pretty sweet.
The Switch has made it super. So the Switch 2 has N64 as part of their out. So like
it's got a ton now.
All the like games. You have to remember, Gold was super into gaming as a kid. He had a gaming podcast
companies would send me products to review. I got like Rock Band and stuff for free. Oh yeah. There was a time where I was super video game nerd.
Let's get back in. The three of us will do a video game podcast. We're back in.
There's only so many things.
This is the easiest sell for me
ever.
There's
only so many things I can quote unquote waste my money on. Like I got the sports betting. I'm doing the cards. Now I'm supposed to get into video games again. I don't make enough money to do all these different things.
You can only have so many hobbies. You're
saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fine, Briscoe. Just me and you. Video game podcast.
I've got two things I spend my money on right now. One of them is video games, and we can talk about our podcast after this.
Mm-hmm. I'll just rip some cards instead.
That's cool too. I like that. I've got family members, and like I like pay attention to the hobby, like outside of the hobby. We've done a little bit of stuff with it. Yeah. I had suggested that we get, because we saw the really cool cards between Bobby Wood Jr. and Jack Caglione.
Yeah.
They wrote little notes to each other for a Topps pack, and they're really, really cool.
They're very cool.
It turns out they're redemption cards, but a couple of them have already been claimed. There's still one out there. I was like, it'd be kind of fun to chase.
It's in Bowman 2025. It's been out for a while, yeah.
But there's still one apparently that hadn't been claimed. Now, for all we know, some guy's just holding on the redemption card and hasn't said anything.
Right.
Just seems very like a true. Fun. That's the one thing about the hobby that's really interesting is like the chase of the big car.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. I love it. Absolutely love it.
You need the prices to stay roughly around retail. Pokemon has the problem of people scalping huge quantities at a time and it ruins it.
The hobby packs and the pricing of cards and stuff is crazy. That's why people do the breaks.
Right.
People do the card breaks. We've talked about it on the show before. as well.
Which card break? Which one were you talking about that was even bigger than Magic? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, Magic the Gathering's
crazy.
You
were telling our boss that one was even hotter than baseball. Was it Magic?
Well, yeah. No, I was saying Pokemon. What they call TGC, the trading, like the games, like Magic and Pokemon. Those cards right now, that's a hotter market than even sports cards. It's crazy.
Man, I had some.
I mean, there are Magic cards that are thousands of dollars per card.
I know nothing about Magic cards or Pokemon cards, so I don't waste my time or money doing those because I could pull one of those and I would not even know what I got.
Totally.
Sports cards, I know if I pull the hit or not. Right. I have a Pokemon card, I could be staring $1,000 card in my face and I wouldn't know. So I just don't delve into that, I should say.
Yeah, Magic is a crazy animal that I am not terribly familiar with, but I've learned a little bit over the last couple of years and it's crazy.
Yeah.
I just kind of stumble across an old binder, I guess, and all get rich together.
Yep. Please, anybody has an old binder of cards they want us to sell for them, we'll give you 20% of the cut.
That's right. Whatever your cost is, plus 20%.
What do you think our chances are of winning this media game tomorrow night? We're playing at halftime of the KC Current game, Briscoe. Cody and I are on the same team. Mackenzie Nelson's one of the captains, or our captain, I should say, for our team. I'm trying to think who else.
Yeah, I haven't seen the rosters here. Has the Current tweeted those out or anything?
I don't know if they've tweeted it out.
They sent them to us.
I don't have the scouting report. Who's your striker? Like who are you planning on leaning on?
I'm not sure actually.
That's a good question.
Have you decided who your goalie is?
I think I don't want to speak for him, but I believe Marcus Officer from Fox 4 has been a goalie before.
I think he has. I've played with him.
So I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead right now and announce that he can be our goalie. Without talking to him at all.
I might be able to do a little bit of. I'm going to betray one confidence here.
Here's the teams. Here we go.
Okay.
I'll name some. I don't know if you know all these, but a couple of people for 41: Mackenzie Nelson, Fernanda Silva, Marlon Martinez, Taylor Burr, Carla Gill, Nate Taylor, Marcus Officer, Dave Scretta, Joseph Hernandez, Carolina Cruz, Neville Miller.
That's another runner.
Fernando Leon, Lennon Barnes, Patrick Murch, Sam Speck, Wesley Underwood. Boogie D, Joseph Hedges, Maria Ramirez.
Is this your team or this your opponent?
This is our team.
Okay.
The opponent has people like Jillian Carroll, Dave Borchardt, Chris Powell. One of our coworkers is on the other team. What's going on here?
That happens.
Nick Springer.
Yeah, so this may be betraying Spring Dog's confidence, but I believe their team has practiced.
Both teams could have. I don't know how many from our team practiced.
Okay. There was a bit of intel that I was just sitting on thinking.
Yeah.
I know Nick was involved in a practice, and in all the media games that I had been involved in, the idea of practicing was laughable. So like I felt like there was an intensity.
Feels like you could have sets at least, you know.
Have
like,
what?
Like a, you know,
nobody's
like a, like
designing
a,
set pieces.
Oh, there's that
no
makes
way
more sense.
There's 25 people on each team. There's no way one of the teams would be like, all right, it's three, hold up a three, and they've got a. There's right. no way. There's no way they have a design set piece. It's, no
this
chance.
Is like preschool rules. Like you're just gonna run to the ball in mobs. Check your spacing. But yeah, it seemed to me like maybe the other team had a few more legs and has put in a little bit of work. But I don't. Maybe that was a partial team deal for them.
We've got a good track record in these media games. We'll see.
You guys are holding out like Chris Jones from practice. You got guessed in practice.
Yeah.
Your life, man. I got things to do.
It turned out just fine, didn't it?
Okay.
Well, I'm
for Chris Jones.
Maybe. Jones did. We'll see how you guys
actually
do
had
on
kind
Saturday.
Of an okay year that year.
I don't want to speak for Drew, but I do
they
think Chris Jones.
Though,
I do think Chris Jones is a more gifted athlete than you two.
Yeah.
That's such a hot take.
I know.
More gifted in a lot of scorching. Areas than us two.
I've only got, yeah. No, that's evident. I assumed as much.
Oh, my goodness. That's what people were asking yesterday. They were saying the trick play. Do you think it was a 10-yard pass, 5-yard pass, 12-yard pass?
He made it
pass?
Sound like it was kind of like near the goal line.
Long or short?
Okay, Drew.
Deep.
No. What was it, a deep pass or was it a short pass?
No, there's no way it was a deep pass.
Can you imagine Chris Jones just uncorking on a 45-yard bomb? I don't know how far he can throw it. He might be able to throw it further than that. I don't know.
It sounds like he might not be able to.
The way that this show has gone, considering in the 10 o'clock hour, I had set an over-under of my before I get fired. I had decided that the way I'm leaving radio is getting fired.
Something
shameful.
Right, absolutely.
And then I had set an over-under of like 8.5 or 9 years. And then we spent the rest of the show just trying to get in trouble, I feel like.
Really? Wow.
It seems like the rest of the show has been, we were talking about Justin Bieber's new song. Have you heard it?
No, I saw that the new album was called Swag. And I was like, man.
That song's not the problem.
It's 2025. What's
the song? The problem, the song that's a problem is called Sweet Spot.
Ah.
Sexy Red. is with him. Okay.
So and I would insight. Just say,
oh, that's the song that she's in?
Yeah.
You probably could be charged with something if you listen to that in earshot of anyone under the age of 18.
Really? So that's where Biebs is getting nasty now. That's
yes. The, okay. Yes.
We said
yes.
Earlier that it was like if you mixed 90s era Casey and JoJo with WAP, then you'd probably be.
Well, now I want to listen to it.
I read a couple of the lyrics that we could read, and that was about it. That was the end of it. Now there's drops because of it.
And there were very few.
Good.
I like it sticky.
Thanks, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't given it a spin yet. I figured I'd check out a couple of tracks. Now I know where I'm starting, at least.
Yeah.
On the way home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just have the windows down.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I am the type of person to, like, at an intersection, be like, no, I don't want to make other people listen to my music. I think that's the anxiety talking, most likely.
Yeah. I like to listen to music with the windows down.
I do, too, but I don't want
to. Not everybody wants to hear it.
I don't want to make it out of the people's problems.
We'll be out of the stoplight in 10 seconds.
I think, Cody, let me be honest. I think that's a healthier way to live. I'm just saying it's not what my brain has blessed me with. You're talking about being gifted in one way or another. My gift was not caring what other people think about me. I'm in media, Cody. You think I got here without caring what other people think about me? I'm wearing a crown and sunglasses.
It's actually getting better.
All right, we hope to, Briscoe, thank you for coming in studio,
thank
my
you for
man.
Having me.
Sunday, we hope to see you guys outside Gate B, as in Bobby. 10:30, the haircuts start for the Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. The contest itself is at 12:30. The Wittesons launch event Sunday at the K. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you Monday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.